Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Well, today we wrap up a teaching series called Ministry 2021, in which we've been looking and talking about our ministry plan for the coming year and beyond. This is kind of a different kind of teaching series. It's more kind of a report in some ways than a regular sermon. So this is a little bit different if this is your first time with us today. We started off this series by stating kind of setting up a problem, answering this question of where we are now as we discuss the state of Christianity, both here at Middletown and also in America, and reflecting on this idea that Christianity has been really in decline for the last 50 years in America. And that part of that decline, there's a lot of things that point to it, but one of the things that has really been glaring is that we as people of God have not always done the best at inviting other people into relationships with Christ. We haven't always done the best at sharing our faith with others. And churches, let's be honest, have frequently earned reputations for not being welcoming to all people and not being accepting of people. Last week, we talked about three goals we're talking about for ministry. One of those goals is to be a safe place for people to explore the Christian faith, that we would want to become a church where anyone can come and ask questions and have doubts and still be welcome. We also want to be a place and people who introduce others to Christ. We also want to help people grow in their faith. And today we're going to focus on this question, how are we going to get there? How are we going to think about reaching those goals? And I'll be honest, this is a more of a roadmap than some of the specific steps we might be taking. And it's a map that might change and be adjusted, but this is kind of where we're heading. And I'm going to start off with a quote from Einstein, actually. Einstein once said that thinking that got us to where we are is not the thinking that will get us to where we want to be. Or perhaps put more simply, we have to think differently if we want different results. We have to do differently if we want different results. And much of what we've been talking about is that there needs to be changes in our church ministries and the way that we do ministry. If we want to see different results going into 2021 and beyond, that means we have to change the things we do and the ways that we're thinking about this as individuals and as a congregation. One of the things we fall trapped into by churches is this idea of the small change approach. That maybe if we just add one little thing or make this one tweak to our worship service, or one of the big things that churches have done over the past years is add a contemporary worship service, which is a wonderful thing to do. I'm very thankful that Middletown chose to do that here. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be here right now. And those things have reached people and they've brought people in. But it hasn't led to a transformative way of thinking about how we do church and how we do ministry. Now, if we want to reach these goals, there will be specific actions we have to take. But underlying all of these goals, there's going to be one big shift in our thinking that we need to think about, that we need to focus on. And it stems from this question of responsibility for church growth. Who is responsible for if a church has 1,000 people or if a church has 10 people? And historically, at least for the past 50 years or so, that responsibility has been placed at the feet of pastors and staff. The congregation and denominational forces have placed it there. It said, well, if we're not growing, it must be the person at the top's problem or the person who's leading this ministry's problem. And there can be some truth in those statements. But the hope of the church cannot be placed solely on the backs of pastors and staff. Moving forward, a congregation must feel some responsibility for church growth. And I had to do a little bit of a history lesson here because I'm, as someone who grew up in a church that's always seen decline, I kind of had to think about, well, what were the days like whenever all of the churches were full and there was, you know, hundreds of people coming to church? Because that's what people talk about as the heydays of the church. They look back to the 50s and the 60s. And one thing I learned is that, one, that the church did not necessarily grow because everyone was out there telling their neighbors about Jesus and inviting people into a relationship with Christ. Do y'all know the phrase, a rising tide lifts all boats? Ever heard that phrase? So in other words, it doesn't matter what kind of boat you have. If the tide rises, the boat goes higher. You could have a really big boat, you could have a really small boat, but either way, the boat goes up. And what research shows is that this is part of what happened during the heyday of church in America, 40s, 50s, 60s, as people came back from war and we had that baby boomer generation emerging, there was this population influx. People were having big families. And the church didn't really have to do much to experience growth. There was just people who were already going to go to church. In fact, it was so tied up with the culture of America that I'm told, I can't verify this, but that if you went to work on Monday and you weren't in church on Sunday, your foreman at the factory probably said, "Hey, where were you? I missed you at church on Sunday." Can you imagine that happening today and there not being some big outcry about it? Yet the assumption was people would go to church. In fact, there was people who planned neighborhoods, these suburbs that were emerging, and whenever they planned the suburbs, they would actually mark off spaces for different churches. So there'd be a spot for the Baptist church, and they'd run utilities there, and the Methodist church, and they'd run utilities there, and the Catholics and the Episcopals. And all they had to do was show up and put up a building, and all the people who moved in, the Methodists would go to the Methodist church, the Baptists would go to the Baptist church. That was church planting in the 50s. I cannot imagine life being like that today. The church grew because people would just come to church. And in those days, churches didn't have to have much by way of staff, a pastor, a secretary, maybe someone to do Christian education. But then, whenever the church started to experience some decline, there was some competing cultural forces, people being pulled from their time, we start seeing the church add more staff. An attitude developed in many congregations that the staff were hired to do ministry for the congregation instead of to enable and equip the ministry for the congregation. And this led to an unhealthy and kind of codependent relationship between congregations and staffs. In other words, this idea emerged that, well, if things weren't going well at the church, then it must be the staff's problem because they're the ones who do the ministry. We all just kind of get to come to church. But the primary purpose of a church staff is to equip and to resource and empower the congregation for ministry, not do the ministry of the congregation. Now, these are generalized statements. I'm not talking about Middletown specifically. These are just generalized statements about church culture and where it's come from and where it's going. But as Christianity in America moves into the future, I believe that the growth of local congregations will not depend on an amazing staff. It will not depend on a really super well-crafted worship service. It will not depend on a perfect sermon, because Lord knows you're not going to get one. There's no such thing. No, sorry. It's going to depend on the people in the pew. You are the key to whether the church grows or not going into the future. Yes, we as a staff will do our part to equip and resource and empower, but you must be the one out there introducing people to Jesus. Moving forward, it must be a shared responsibility. We need people investing in youth and children's ministry. We need people connecting to people in the community and talking with people about Jesus. We need you engaging your neighbors and friends and family. Now, please understand what I'm saying, though, because this is not meant to be a direct critique of anyone or anything. Because y'all are doing incredible faithful ministry, and you've shown incredible generosity in those ministries. You always rise to the occasion when we're collecting, whatever we're collecting, from dog food to diapers to making sack lunches for the homeless. You always come through. You support the mobile medical unit. You support missions locally and globally. And Middletown couldn't do these ministries without you. And we are incredibly grateful for these ministries. You are making a kingdom impact with that energy. So as we look at these goals, as we think about where we're headed, the first goal we have is to become a safe place for people to explore the Christian faith. Now, this will first and foremost be an attitude for us. Maybe a shift in attitude, maybe a tweak in our attitudes. A way of being comfortable with people asking questions and having doubts and challenging what we believe. Now, when people come to worship, are we going to be a warm and welcoming space for anyone, even if they don't fit the mold of church person. When people do show up in Sunday schools or Bible studies, we need to give people permission to ask questions and don't assume what their level of understanding might be. See, being a safe place to explore the Christian faith means building a kind of a reputation as a certain kind of church. So that's a place where we can go and we can have our doubts and we can have our fears, and maybe we don't always have to be cornered in to have all the exact answers whenever we come here, but we'll still be welcomed and we can ask those questions. In our class conversations, it means encouraging questions and pushback. It means we must be comfortable with not having all the answers as leaders in the church. In some ways, this is the easiest and hardest goal to reach. We start today, but it's going to take a change in our culture and our habits. The next goal we talked about is we will introduce people to Christ, and I kind of touched on that a little bit. Because, friends, we don't have people beating down on our church doors to come to church. In fact, I don't know a church that does right now. Because of this, we must meet people where they are. Last week, we explored in the Great Commission that Jesus' first command was to go. This is where you come in. We all must be intentional about having spiritual conversations, about sharing our faith and helping people know Christ. Now, in this moment, I'm guessing a vast majority of you just said, oh, I can't do that. Pastor, you just stepped into that zone of like uncomfortable to the 10th degree, you know? Now, there are many different reasons we believe we can't help other people know Christ. Some are afraid, others feel like they don't know the Bible well enough, and still others just don't know how to have those conversations. Friends, we're working on training and classes to equip you in how to have those conversations. Once COVID allows, we'll start having those classes in person, but we're also seeking to resource you with ways to reach people outside the church in some non-traditional ways, perhaps where we're working on online classes and videos. We'll use short videos to instruct you, but also videos you can refer people to. We'll do videos on things like what is the Bible, or how to pray, or why be part of a church. We'll make these videos available on YouTube where they can be available to everyone. And this goal may be simple in scope, but it can be difficult to execute. It must be accomplished by us out there because they're not coming here. This is a task that can't be done by just the staff. If we are to reach people for Christ, we must share all of that responsibility together. This is just the start, but there'll be other strategies for ways we can grow. Now, our third goal is to help people grow in their faith. And we want this to be a systematic approach. Now, think of this example. Have you ever decided you're going to go to the gym and get in shape? Have I ever done that? Like, I'm going to have my membership. I'm going to go, and we walk in, and we see this array of machines and treadmills and elliptical machines. We see all of these options, and we're like, all right, today I guess I'm going to do arms. So you walk over, and you're like, should I lift some weight? Should I do a machine? You maybe do a couple of things here and there. Like, I'll throw some cardio in at the end, and I'm kind of tired. I'm going to go home. And you do this for a couple of weeks, and you realize you're not really making any progress. Like, well, I'm kind of feeling kind of sore sometimes, but nothing's really changing a whole lot. The reason is because we're just kind of walking into the gym and just kind of picking up this here and there and that and the other thing, and without any real directed approach or pattern. Or think of another way to do this, which is we come in and we maybe sign up for a health coach or a trainer who says, what are your goals? What are you trying to do? You're trying to lose weight, gain muscle, trying to get better at running. Okay, here are the things you can do specifically to help you on that path. Right now, our church is more like the first example than the second. We have all these options, but we don't have a systematic plan to say, these are the steps we are asking you to walk, so that you can grow in your faith. The church is clearly committed to learning. Between Sunday school and small groups and Bible studies and book studies, there's a high percentage of people involved in trying to grow in these areas. But all that learning is kind of random. There's not a systematic way for people to grow. So to reach our goal of helping people grow, we're designing a systematic discipleship plan. It has four advancing levels. The path starts with exploring Christ, for those that are maybe just dipping their toes in and trying to understand the Christian faith. The next is transforming in Christ, where they're making that next level of commitment. Then maturing in Christ. And then finally, centered in Christ. We're designing it so that people can jump in at any point and we'll have a clear path to follow. Just like going to the gym and having a trainer set up a plan for you. This is our attempt to have a plan for what it looks like to live out your faith and become a spiritually mature Christian. Someone who knows little or nothing about Christ can start at the beginning. But if someone has experience in the faith, they can jump in at one of the other levels. We're also working on this path to be applied to our children and youth programs. And the children will be designed around what children should know at a particular age. And the youth plan is still in process since Nathan literally just got on the scene as we were developing these plans. We decided not to put him on the spot. But we are committed to helping people grow in their faith wherever they are. Alongside this systematic plan that focuses more on our spiritual development and growth, we're also working on plans that focus more on different people's different life stages of people and some of the challenges that we just may face. Challenges like blended families or the sandwich generation or when it's time to move into assisted living or navigating JCPS or actually our parenting during the pandemic classes launching this Tuesday. It's an attempt to offer resources to people as they need and ways for the church to help in these areas. We want to walk people alongside people in their everyday walk of life. And friends, these are the goals that we have developed. These are the goals we hope that each one of you will have in your mind as we go forward into 2021. And we believe they're kingdom-minded goals. These are goals entered into in prayer. And I think they're goals that if we even come close to reaching them, that they will lead to transformed lives and a transformed world. But they're truly worthless if they're not set on a foundation of authentic love and compassion for the people in our community. If it's not founded on that command that Nathan read earlier, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength and your neighbor as yourself. These aren't to fill a pew, but hopefully to change lives. So I invite you all to be in prayer as we work toward this as a church. I invite you to pray how you might be part of this pathway or how you might help others along their way in that pathway. How you might participate in using your skills and gifts for the kingdom of God. As I said last week, it may be a little daunting, but it is good and it is holy work. So friends, let's lean in and let's get going. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friends, we now gather at the table of the Eucharist, the table of communion, and it just feels so appropriate to gather here today after having laid out these last three Sundays, this plan for ministry, because here we meet Christ, and Christ offers grace and energy and life for the journey. So as we come today, we're reminded that in Christ's ministry, he dined with all kinds of people. He dined with people who seemed to have their lives figured out and those who were on the bottom of the rung. And as such, Christ invites all who desire to come and to receive grace this day. There's no rules for who gets to come and participate. Just a desire to receive and to know Christ. And we remember in his ministry that Jesus, on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave it to his disciples and broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and of wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world, until Christ comes in final victory and we all feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.